Well, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to pastor in a house of faith and preach in a house of faith. And, you know, I read the story here a while back about a gentleman who just got through a operation. And when he got through the operation, he got the bill. He says, "Now I know why they all wear masks." But the reality of the scripture is, Jesus said there through the Apostle Paul in Romans, the scripture says, "He that believeth in him shall not be ashamed." We'll not be embarrassed. We don't have to wear a mask. We just live for Jesus day by day and day by day. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. We'll begin there today. This is Opa and I have built our life, our home, our family, our ministry that God has given us to do over the years on this one particular scripture right here. And we'll continue to build our life on this scripure. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever." Everybody say forever.
Forever.
Tell your neighbor, forever.
Forever.
Amen. You know, someone's having anxiety attacks in their life, and you can receive a healing right now in that name of Jesus. If that's you, just say, "I receive it." Just go ahead. If that's you, I mean, I don't know who has it. Someone else has got some problems with some twisting up in your life. Some things are twisted in your mind and in your body. You receive a healing right now in the name of Jesus. I release a healing for that in the name of Jesus. He says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, and your faithfulness endures to all generations. You've established the earth, and it abides forever." Amen. Forever, God's word is established. It's going to stay the same. Now, if you got your Bible this morning, or if you got your cell phone and you got a Bible program on it, then open it up to the Bible program. Lift up your Bible. Everybody hold up your Bible. Says, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And today, my mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same again. Never, never, never. Thank God I'm being changed by the living word of God. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is how? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, the word of God never changes. 2 Timothy 3 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Yeah. For instructions, for corrections, for inspiration, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that today?
Amen.
Amen. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says that things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
Amen. Now, I've discovered there are principles in the kingdom of God. You know, there's principles at Worlds of Fun. You ever see those little signs, those little people? You got to be this tall before you can ride this ride. Amen. If you're not tall, this tall, then you can't ride this ride. Or if you're past this height, you can't ride this ride. Amen. Well, there's rules and principles in our homes, isn't there?
Right.
Amen. And there's rules and principles in the kingdom of God. And faith is the working principle in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Yes.
Faith. Hebrews 11:1. You know, we got a lot of scriptures, so let your fingers do the walking. Something like that. Hebrews 11:1 says, "What kind of faith is now?" Now faith, amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we recognize that faith always is now. And you all heard your pastor praying over people, now, now, receive now, receive now. Yeah. You see, when you get prayer, or when you get someone prayed for, or you pray for someone, that prayer power is released at that moment.
Right.
Now, there may be a manifestation on down the road. Maybe, you know, I remember the night that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got prayed for in a tent meeting, hands laid upon me. I went home, laid down in my bed. It manifested right then.
Yeah.
I began speaking in tongues right then. And so there is a release of power and faith the moment that you receive prayer. There's a manifestation of it as you go on in life. Maybe it'll manifest right there. You know, Jesus said to the man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam and be healed." He went and washed and came healed. Amen.
Yeah.
He said to the lepers, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they manifest presence and power of God, heal them. There's instantaneous healings, isn't it, where it happens right now. But it's always manifested in the future sometimes. The reality of it is it's going to come to pass. And so we recognize and realize that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, I'll pick it up there, talking about now faith. Actually, I called this message through faith. Everybody say through faith. Yeah, through faith. And so we recognize and realize here in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 32 through 34. As the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith," say through faith. Yeah, through faith they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How'd they do it? Through faith. Amen. Everybody say through faith. Amen. And so we recognize and realize, and you know, over in 1 Samuel, that's where we're going now. 1 Samuel, things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Amen. And so over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know the story of David. We just read there through faith how he did mighty acts, how mighty things were wrought in and through his life. But there's some principles that I believe that he used that I believe apply to you and I now. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Father, I just receive your word right now. Every one of us receive it. We've made a confession of your word. We believe your word. We receive your word. We're expecting a manifestation of your word to work in our life today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I noticed, first of all, that we have to understand courage is something you have to take. The Bible says take courage. Something you have to have. It doesn't just fall on you like cherries off of a tree. No, you have to take a hold of it. And so when you read in the Scripture certain things and how God worked and wrought miracles in people's lives, you have to take a hold of that and say, that's me. I can get that. I can do that. I can fulfill that. And so I have what I call 7 steps to take courage. I'm going to preach it fast and hard, so you get right on with me there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know the story of David and Goliath. We know about how David came out there and how he ended up bringing him down. But there's some principles, I believe, that he used to take courage in this situation. Number one, as he took courage, he realized that you have to understand in this taking courage. I'm going to get a part here in just a moment, all right? In this understanding of taking a part of this, you have to get a realization. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, 1 Samuel 17, 29, David said, as he saw that giant going back and forth and roaring and trying to bring fear upon them, trying to destroy them and trying to intimidate them, David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" You have to make up your mind that you're going to make a decision that there is a cause that I'm going to defeat this giant in my life. Whatever it is, whatever it's fear, whatever it's sickness, whatever it's oppression, whatever it's depression, whatever it's lack, whatever it is, you've got to take courage that to fight the fight of faith, you've got to, number one, make a decision. Everybody say, make a decision. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. Make a decision. Amen. And so we recognize the first recorded miracle of healing in the Bible is the story of the nobleman and his son. He came to Jesus and he said, "I have a son at home. He is almost dead. Would you come and heal him?" And Jesus began to make a discussion with him. You know, everybody wants a sign or wonder, a miracle. But the father said, "Come down, would you? Come down and heal him." But Jesus said, "You just go your way. He'll be made whole this very hour." He spoke the word. The man made a decision right then to believe the word. It says he believed the word and he headed towards home. And on the way home, he met some of his servants. And they said, "Your son is healed." He said, "Well, when did it happen?" And he says, "About certain time, He knew that was exactly the moment that Jesus spoke the word. See, he made it a decision to take that word because it was loosed as he spoke it. There was a manifestation on down the road a little ways. And so make up your mind. You're going to make a decision to take courage. You see, healing, deliverance, overcoming your life begins at a fixed moment. It manifests at an end time, at a certain time. He spoke the word. Go home. He's healed. He took that word that very moment, and he headed towards home. He didn't sit around pleading and begging. He believed the word. I personally now, if I step on anybody's toes, I'll pray for you later. I personally believe that there's too much moaning and groaning and complaining in the body of Christ. According to the word of God in Ephesians chapter 1, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing right now. What we need to do, we need to start praying, Lord, open up the eyes of my understanding that I might know what is the hope of your calling. I might know what's the exceeding greatness of your love towards me, that I might know the power that you have. See, we're not a lack of blessings and healing. We've got a lack of understanding, of knowing. That's the reason we need to start praying for our eyes to be opened. Yes. I remember hearing Brother Hagin tell there one year as he began to get an understanding of God's authority and God's power. He was pastoring at that time, and the parsonage was right next to the house. And so he opened up his Bible to that Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, about the eyes of understanding being opened. And every time he'd go to the church, he'd drop down on his knees at that altar and pray that prayer for him. Lord, that my eyes of understanding might be open. I might know the exceeding greatness of your power to those who believe. And so as he began to do that, he said, you know, all of a sudden he began to see things he couldn't see before. All of a sudden he began to see the blessings of God are there. We just got to believe, and we got to take courage and believe him. As a matter of fact, he said, he told his wife, what in the world have I been preaching these last 12 years? He says, any one of the deacons haven't run me off by now. And sometimes we need to know. We got to get this understanding in our life. We got to make up our minds that we want out of sickness. We want out of depression. We want out of poverty. Is there not a cause? That was the question. Is there a cause? Yeah, there's a cause. Jesus said you came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. So there's a cause to go after something. Take courage. Make a decision. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The second thing you have to do, the second principle I'm going to call, is be willing to fight. Yeah. Be willing to fight. Yeah. He said there in verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. He said, I'll go out and fight him. Would you go out and fight the situation that you're in? Would you be willing to take courage to fight whatever that's coming against you? Whether it's fear, whether it's torment, whatever it might be, are you willing to fight? Now, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We understand that. We're fighting the fight of faith because the devil's trying to always put doubt in our mind. We live in a negative world. We just well recognize that. A hopeless world. You watch the news and you may want to go out and shoot yourself before the night's over. Amen. But you take courage because you can fight the fight of faith. Yes. And thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Thank you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So victory is already ours. Lord, open our eyes of understanding. Give us an understanding now that we might realize that we can take courage. We make a decision. We're going to have victory in our life. We're going to have salvation in our home. We're going to have overcoming in our life. And we're willing to fight for it. Yes. We're willing to fight for it. The third principle I'm going to say, following here in King David as he was a little boy dealing with a giant in his life, he made a decision. He decided he was going to willing to fight. And third thing, he followed God's plan. Followed God's plan. Over there in verse 39 and 40, 39 and 40, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're still in, verse 39 and 40, David fastened his sword, talking about Saul's sword, to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these things. I've not tested them. So David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch where he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He got a plan from God. He couldn't use somebody else's plan. Amen. Got to use your plan. You know, the reality of it is, many times people like to live on other people's faith. Back in the Jesus generation, most of you don't remember it, but I do. Back in the Jesus generation there of the 60s and 70s, you know, we had a Christian bookstore here in Cameron. We had a Christian coffee house in the back of it. We worked on the street among the hippies during those days. And the one thing I found out is the reality, they all wanted to live on my faith. I said, no, we're going to get your own faith. You get your own faith from the Word of God. And so you make up your mind that you're going to overcome this obstacle in your life. You're willing to fight, but you're going to use the plan that God gave you. The Apostle Paul was beaten. He was threatened. He was shipwrecked. He was beat down. He was stoned. He was falsely accused by his own brethren. But he simply made up his mind in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not of man, neither of men. He didn't get his appointment from God. He didn't get elected by the headquarters. He didn't get sent out by somebody. He said, I'm called of God. I've got a message for you. As a matter of fact, if you go on down to verse, 13, he says, and this thing I preach is a revelation from God. Yeah. It's not something that I was taught. Right. It was not something that somebody gave me. It's a revelation from God. And that revelation from God is you have to fight with the plan that God gives you. You have to hold fast to your confidence in God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, I'm willing to fight. I've made a decision. I'm using God's plan. Amen. The fourth principle. Everybody say four. Number four, you have to see the victory. Oh, yeah. Before it ever happens. Verse 37. Verse 37. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Yeah. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Amen.
Amen.
He saw the victory.
Yeah,
you got to see the victory. You see, your faith will never rise any higher than what you see and what you confess. You have to see the victory. Everybody say, see the victory. You know, if you're having trouble in your body, you got to see yourself healed like better than you ever was before. If you have problems in your finances, you got to see yourself with more than enough. Amen. Enough to have some for you, enough to give away some. You know, I've come against this doctrines of demons before, but I'll do it one more time. I've heard people say, I just want enough for me and my family. I say, you're the most selfish person in the world, aren't you? You ought to be able to believe God for enough for you and your family and enough to give some away, to reach into the world. Amen? We ain't going to be selfish. We're going to be givers. Amen?
Amen?
But you have to see the victory. God told Abraham, look up in the sky. Look at all those stars. He didn't have one child at that moment. As a matter of fact, his wife was barren and getting old. Looked like a hopeless situation. But God said, look up in the sky. See all those stars. Your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky. He had to see that victory. See, that victory causes something to rise inside of you when you see it. And you, if you look at Jesus, he said to those 12 men, he says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, white unto harvest. And those 12 men come to about 3 billion today, don't they? They saw something there. They saw God. Bigger than anything they could see. They saw God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above what they could ask or think. Don't ever look at your situation. Look at God. Look at his promises. See God bigger than your circumstances. Amen.
Amen.
We have to recognize that our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
The fifth principle. Everybody say number five.
Number five.
Amen. We not only got to see the victory, I believe we've got to confess the victory before it ever happens. I believe we've got to confess it. Look here in verse 45 and 46. 45 and 46, 1 Samuel 17. David said to that Philistine, he said to that giant, You're coming to me at a sword and a spear with a javelin, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled. And this day, everybody say this day. He said, this day the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to strike you and take your head off.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm going to let the carcasses be out in the field and let the animals eat them up. And all the earth may know that there is a God. We got to confess the victory before you ever get it. You got to confess your healing. You're walking in. You got to confess you got more than enough. You got to quit moaning and groaning and complaining and start believing the word of God. And we believe the word of God, then we speak the word of God. We talk the word of God. We live the word of God. And so confess that. Confess whatever's going on in your life. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God has more than enough for you. He's always going to cause you to triumph. And healing is the children's bread. You know, I like what it said there what is that in Judges, where the story of Daniel in the lion's den, isn't it? Somewhere in there. Amen. But the three Hebrew children, when they brought him up to the fiery furnace, the king says, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow down to me. And a lot of people, I think, preach that wrong. A lot of people preach that, well, they say, well, if not, we're still not going to serve you. But our God's going to deliver us. You know, they weren't saying if God's not going to deliver us, then we're going to be in trouble. No, they said if you don't throw us in the fiery furnace, we're still going to serve our God.
Right.
But our God is going to deliver us. And so you have to have that kind of confession in your life. God's going to deliver you from whatever situation you're in because you see him big. You see him awesome. Number six. If we're going to take courage in this time that we live in, we got to make a decision. Everybody say make a decision. Amen. We got to be willing to fight. Yeah. We got to get God's plan for us. We got to see the victory. We got to confess the victory. Speak it out of your mouth. Some people say you're lying. No, I'm just calling things like God calls them. You know, I never did believe in saying I'm not sick when I'm really sick. I ain't not going to lie like that. But I will say, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. God's more than enough. Amen. I'm going to see the victory. I'm going to call the victory, even though it says, doesn't seem to be manifesting fully in my life right now. And so we've got to continue to hold fast to our confidence. The sixth principle, follow the plan. Follow the plan. God gave him a plan. He gave him those five smooth stones. He gave him that pouch to carry him in. He gave him that slingshot that he could use. And as he rose up, he saw the victory. And he began to confess the victory. He said, I'm telling you today, Mr. Giant, you're coming down today. I'm going to cut your head off. Hallelujah. And he followed the plan. You know, people will attempt to discourage you, get you off the plan. You know, even his own brothers try to discourage him. His brother said to him when he told him what he's going to do, he said, what are you doing, little boy? Why don't you go back to tend those few sheep that you have? You know, I remember when I went to Cheyenne, Wyoming, I had three pastors call me into their offices. They wanted to have a meeting with me. They didn't like me being there. All I come to do was to love people and preach the gospel. But, you know, they didn't like me being there, but I stayed. Amen. We built a church of 200 people, got a building bought, got it remodeled, got it turned over to a great pastor now that's taking it on. Just follow the plan. Amen. People always try to discourage you, whatever you're believing God for. If you're believing God for big things, that's the only thing to believe God for is big things, isn't it? Amen? Because he's a big God. The seventh final principle. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I got the victory. The seventh and final thing. If we're going to take courage in our life, we got to finish the job. We got to finish the job. He says, I'm going to cut your head off. You get down to verse 50 and 51. You see that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Can you understand when you cut the head off of that thing that's kind of bugging you right now, the other enemies will flee. When you cut the head off of that moaning, complaining, when you cut the head off of it, say, I'm not doing that anymore, you know, other things will flee from you. Other little problems will get away from you. You have to make up your mind to finish the job. Cut the head off of it. If you got anger in your life, cut it off. If you got a lust in your life, cut it off in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you one way I think you can do it in any of those areas is when you take communion. You can take communion by yourself. You don't have to have. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said he took communion every day at least. And you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth is, so I'll move on there. All right. Anyway, you know, some of you know. He took communion every day. He said, you know, sometimes if people show up after I did it, I'd say, well, come on in, brother, and I'd just get ready to break bread. He'd break bread with them again. But when you take the cup and you realize that's the blood of Jesus, you take that cup and you begin to draw a bloodline between you and anger, or you and lust, or you and hate, or you in bitterness, or you in poverty. You draw that line of the blood. And you're taking this communion to seal that. And you're declaring in the name of Jesus, I am free. And you take that cup and you drink it all and you receive the powers of darkness breaking off of your life because you made a decision to take courage. You're going to finish the job. Whatever it is, there's a point of contact, a fixed moment when you release your faith. And then there's an end full manifestation of it if you'll hold on to your confidence and keep your courage alive. Keep your faith switch turned on. You will see manifestation of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, overcoming life's problems. I'm concerned today. I know we've had great ministry today, but I'm concerned today there are people here who still have a desire to find peace in their life, to find salvation in their life, to find wholeness in their life, to find hope in Jesus. Well, it's only come one way, by taking courage, by making a decision, by willing to fight the fight of faith, by follow the plan, by get the plan from God to do what God has called you to do, fulfill that destiny that God has for you. Today, you had a fixed moment when you had the prayer of faith prayed for you. There was a moment when the power of God was released. Just like that, it was released. Now, we understand in bringing healing and deliverance, there's two important things to it. There's anointing of God that's on the person that prays for you, and then there's the power of faith in you to receive it. See, you know, a lot of times I've had people say, well, I've had 14 people pray for me and I never got anything out of it. Well, you didn't put anything in it, did you? They had an anointing there. But you know, anointing can be stopped right at you if you don't take it on in. See, there's a fixed moment whenever you've had prayer for you, whether you was back there, whether you was down there, that fixed moment when the prayer was prayed, and there was released the anointing of power. Now, you have to take a hold of it and bring it into your life. And then it'll manifest. There'll be a manifestation on down the road. If you keep on that faith switch turned on in your life, hold fast to your confidence. Everybody stand on your feet and say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus.